Now let's go to John 11, 1. John 11, 1. Praise God. Good to see everybody in the house today. Thank you, Jesus. All well and healed and blessed. John 11, 1. You there? Now a certain man was sick, Lazarus of Bethany, the town of Mary and her sister Martha. It was that Mary who anointed the Lord with fragrant oil and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. Therefore the sisters sent to him, talking about Jesus, saying, Lord, behold, he whom you love is sick. Jesus heard that. He said, this sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God may be glorified through it. Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. So when he heard that he was sick, he stayed 2 more days in the place where he was. Then after that, he said to the disciples, let's go to Judea again. The disciples said to him, Rabbi, lately the Jews sought to stone you, and you're going there again? Jesus said, no, they're not 12 hours in the day. If anyone walks in the day, he does not stumble because he sees the light of this world. But if one walks in the night, he stumbles because the light is not in him. These things he said, and after that he said them, our friend Lazarus sleeps, but I go that I may wake him up. Then the disciples said, Lord, if he sleeps, he'll get well. However, Jesus spoke of his death, but they thought that he was speaking about taking rest in sleep. Then Jesus said to them plainly, Lazarus is dead. And I'm glad for your sakes that I was not there, that you may believe. Nevertheless, let us go to him. Then Thomas, who is called the twin, said to fellow disciples, let us also go that we may die with him. Okay, so we're looking at Jesus and we're looking at the resurrection. The Apostle Paul prayed in Philippians 3:10 that I may know him and know the power of his resurrection. He wants us to be intimately acquainted. He wants us to know the power of the resurrection. He wants us to really have an understanding of it, a working knowledge, comprehension of what's going on with Jesus himself and the resurrection. So today we're going to look, I guess you can tell this already, we're looking at Lazarus. In Hebrew, Lazarus means God has helped. As with the fig tree, which is about the religious Pharisees who have no fruit, the story of Lazarus has an underlying message. Okay? You just have to pick it up. He that hath an ear, let him hear today. And I'm going to give you some markers or some points so you can catch exactly what I'm trying to tell you today. And we'll tell you, the Holy Spirit will tell us through this very true story. Now notice in verse 8 that the disciples are reminding Jesus that the Jews sought to stone him. So this is dangerous territory. The Jews, his own people, the own people in his nation, his very own people in his nation, the nation that he lived in, those people sought to stone him. I can see by smiles we already have a marker. Good. Now, he answers, in this story, he answers a dead man and a dead nation. Okay? Walk with me. Now, this is a blessed family because Jesus is good friends with them. I mean, this would be like, what, we live 4 miles apart? This would be like saying, we're going to run down to Larry and Jesse's. I mean, he's going to walk Bethany and Jerusalem are about 2 miles apart, I believe. But I don't know, he was a further away from that, but he, when he was around that area, he could just go over there, and he spent time in their home. And you remember the stories. And you know who Mary was. You know who Martha was. Amen. So they knew then, the girls knew that if they sent word to Jesus that Jesus cared so much that he would come. It would be like me saying, Jesse, Larry, girls, Bo, can y'all come down here? I need you now. It would be that kind of feeling, and they would come. But Jesus doesn't come. He stays where he is. He didn't even send a word to heal Lazarus like he did with the centurion. He didn't even send a word. Then after 2 days, he heads down there toward him. So when Jesus came, this is verse 17, he found that he had already been in the tomb 4 days. Verse 18, now Bethany was near Jerusalem. Oh, here it is, about 2 miles away. And many of the Jews had joined the women around Martha and Mary to comfort them concerning their brother. Now Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, she went and met him, but Mary was sitting in the house. Now Martha said to Jesus, Lord, if you'd been here, my brother would not have died. But even now I know that whatever you ask of God, God will give you. Jesus, if you would have been here and done something, he wouldn't have died. Jesus, if you had only intervened in this sick nation. Jesus, if you just said a word through one of your people or to the like you did the centurion. But he wouldn't even intervene from afar. He just let Lazarus die. You see, there's a different objective here. He didn't want to heal a sick man. He wanted to resurrect a dead man. It was a question of bestowing life or raising up again that which was dead before God. This was the real estate of Israel. It was the state of man here. Okay? So he allows the condition of man, he that hath an ear, let him hear, the condition of man under sin to go on and manifest itself in full intensity of its effects down here and permits the enemy to exercise power to the end. Nothing remained but the judgment of God and death in itself. I'll clarify this. Convicted man of sin, because the wages of sin is death, right? So the sick may be healed, but there's no remedy for the dead in the natural. Okay? Well, we ran out of theories. Now, don't start with me. Because I'm about to tell you better news. Yeah, but this one's still. Yeah, there's one going. I'm about to tell you what it is. If Christ is there, you get resurrection. But if not, you get judged according to your works. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit of God is saying. Remember, the Bible is speaking about three groups of people. The Jews, the church, and the nations. So we can see manifold wisdom in the story of Lazarus. All is over for man, as man here on earth. Nothing remains but the judgment of God when you die, when a person dies, not you. It's appointed, here's scripture, it's appointed unto men once to die, but after this judgment. Is that right? The scripture. So the Lord doesn't heal in this instant. He allows the evil to get to the end. And then death. Now this was the true place of man. Lazarus, once fallen asleep, he goes to awaken him. The disciples are fearing the Jews, but the Lord has waited for his Father's will. And so he does not fear to accomplishment because he's the light. So he's totally walking into this place where people are after him, but he's the light. And he's going to accomplish it. But notice, he's going to accomplish it even if it meant something would break out. At least Thomas said, well, I guess I'll go down with him too, you know. Yeah, well, praise the Lord. So, whatever might be his love for Lazarus or a nation, he must needs let it die. Indeed, it was dead. And wait for the time appointed by God to raise it up again. If he must die to accomplish it, he commits it to the Father. I'm going. He that hath an ear, let him hear. Verse 23, Jesus said to her, your brother will rise again. Martha said to him, I know that he will rise again in the resurrection at the last day. Now we see two things here, church. Jesus could have healed him before he died, but he didn't. This was about as far as the Jews and the family here were faithing or hoping for. It was about as far as it went. If he would have just gotten here, he could have healed him. Now also we see that there was a hope of a future resurrection because Martha talked about it. She got that. But really, now listen to me, because don't fall into the wrong place here. That really didn't help dead today. See what I mean? Martha gets that Jesus is the Messiah. And she also gets that he's favored by the Father. And she's kind of, maybe, sort of leaning up that could something happen here? But we do know the resurrection will come in the future. Okay? That's her feelings here. So, but you know what? Even in where she is right there, standing there talking to Jesus, the dead's still dead. The dead's still dead. If you can get this, get it. To rise again and appear before God was not an answer to death that comes by sin. Okay? If someone dies and they die in sin, which you will not, facing God is not going to be a good thing. Okay, I'm gonna give you some help with this in a minute, but just walk with me into this. I'm trying to show you something. It's not because God's mean; it's because no decision was made to accept God's grace. And so, when you get too dead, or do you get too death? We'll call it death's door. There's a couple of things that could happen, right? Two exactly. Okay, now, I'll make it a little easier. It was necessary to go all the way to death. Let me build this and I'll help you see what I mean. But when death came, if it just came because of judgment of sin, then everything's lost. Okay, but, dun 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 dun, Martha says, I know that he will rise again in the resurrection at the last day. And Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he die, yet shall he live. He'll never die. Do you believe this? He said to her. Y'all said yes. Okay. Now, she said, yes, Lord, this is what she answered. Pick it up. Yeah, I believe that you're the Messiah. Okay. Who's coming to this world. Now, all of this that's happening is not changing death. Dead is still over there. You with me? Okay. Now, Christ, however, was there. And thanks be to God, because he is the resurrection and the life. And man being dead, the resurrection comes first, because Jesus is the resurrection and the life and the present power of the divine life. And in that life, coming by resurrection, we see it delivers from all that death implies. Everything that death implies. Sin, everything. Okay? It's all, we'll say, swallowed up right there. I'm going to make this real clear to you. The resurrection gets in the way of death. Okay, come here, Jordan. So you stand right here and just stand like Mr. Clean or something. Okay. Okay. Now, Deb, you come. All right. Now, let's see. Who's holy? Kendall. Kendall says she. Okay, Kendall, you come be Jesus. Okay. Now, he's death's door. Deb, when she was 120, when it was going to go to glory. Now, so Deb walks up. Now, stand behind him just a little bit for a minute. She comes up to death's door. Now, this is just dead. Right here, there's nothing after this. Unless you're a Christian. And if there is, then boom, there's the resurrection right there. Okay? You get that? So when you get to death's door, you're alive. You get to death's door, you leave that, you're just alive. Okay. Okay. Thank you for being death's door. We wash that off of you in Jesus' name. Wait, come back. But if I were someone who didn't believe in Jesus, I'm not going to see that resurrection. I'm going to go boing. Okay, right? Okay. Now think of that in the way of not people. Did I just help you? Think of that in the dreams and nations okay, thank you, all three. Give them a hand, please. Thank you, Holy Kendall. Now, so the resurrection gets in the way of death itself, but you had to get there to get the resurrection. You're not going to go to heaven until your glove dies. And then you'll go to heaven, right? I mean, we don't astro project here, okay? You can't do anything but stay in that body, use your authority, worship God, be the temple of the Holy Ghost, but then one day you're gonna be absent from the body, you'll be present with the Lord, and then one day in the way in the future, your body will come up out of that grave and you'll be united and you'll have a glorified body. Okay. That was free. Now, 28. When she had said these things, because remember she just said, Lord, you're the Messiah. I know you're the Messiah. She went her way and secretly called Mary, her sister, saying, the teacher has come and he's calling for you. As soon as she heard that, she arose quickly and came to him. Now, Jesus had not come into the town, but was in the place where Martha met him. Then the Jews who were with her in the house. So, let's keep going here. They're in the house, were comforting her when they saw that Mary rose up quickly and she's running toward Jesus. They think she's going to the tomb. Then when Mary came where Jesus was and saw him, she fell down at his feet saying, Lord, if he had been here, my brother would not have died. Therefore, when Jesus saw her weeping and the Jews came with her weeping, he groaned in the spirit and was troubled. And he said, where have you laid him? They said to him, Lord, come and see. Here's your shortest verse in the Bible. Jesus wept. Now, Jesus wept. I want to say something here before we go on through here. They were crying and they were mourning. Okay? Got that? He entered into them with sympathy or compassion. Okay? And you just saw where it said he groaned in the spirit? Okay. What that means is he presented it to Father God. He presented their human pain to Father. Have you heard of travail? Yeah. Pentecostal people? Okay, come on. That's when you get that, oh, when you're praying and you just got to pray through. And sometimes it sounds like you're groaning. And what people used to call it, a burden. We don't call it that anymore, but they used to say, oh, this burden in my prayer. Well, that's that groan. They're presenting the human pain to God. So he wasn't just in his flesh going, oh, no. They were, because dead had no answer. But answer himself is standing there presenting their pain to Father. Jesus is touched with how you feel, church. He's touched when you suffer. He's touched when you're hurting. Says by your infirmities. He's touched with that. Okay? Now, many people think that our faith walk around here is kind of callous because we're really strong on no pity parties. But a pity party and suffering are different. You can hurt without getting all selfish. Sometimes things just hurt. It doesn't mean that you're having a pity party. You have to know the difference. Jesus doesn't come to the pity party. But he's there about your feelings. He cares. There's a difference between emotional loss that you feel, which many people call grief, or the spirit of grief. And my desire is to keep you out of the death cycle that would cause you to be loyal to grief. And that you just can't live because so-and-so died. That's my platform on this. I'm not trying to say, we don't care if you're hurting, get over it. That's not the message, although if some people filter it that way. But what we're trying to say is, have faith in God. You didn't lose anyone. We know exactly where they are. Rejoice for the time that they were with you. Be grateful for the time that they were with you, and don't court the loyalty that you think should go toward the person who went on to heaven. Right. You need to live. That's our point of view. It's not that we don't care. We feel the pain. We've had two friends go to heaven this week. We had a friend go to heaven about 3 weeks ago. The people that are close to us, Randy's dad went to heaven. Our good friend John Toole went to heaven. Used to come to church here. Lynn was our children's pastor. We love them. Now, I certainly feel her pain. As soon as I heard it, I went, oh, he's young. But I know Lynn. Lynn is a woman of faith. And she's going to be grateful. They'll be hurt. And Jesus will give that hurt to the Father. But she will also walk on through it in her faith. She's a strong person in faith. Now, so Jesus loves you when you cry from heartache, but he's moved by faith. And he cannot be the high priest over your confession if it's just death words. He's the high priest over you saying, I'm healed in Jesus' name. I can live. I can go on. I am somebody. I can make it because I'm God's. I belong to God. Not on my own, but I am in that resurrection. And I will see my friends, John and Gary and Richard. I'll see them. I have a hope. I have a future. And Jesus loves us. And okay, just what about people that are suffering with the people they live with? Well, I need to be able to, well, God, be like David. Lord, this is difficult. Lord, sometimes I don't know what I'm going to do, but I will praise my God. I will confess that this is over. I'll confess that so-and-so is going to be healed or delivered or whatever. See, you add to, even though you're hurting, you always add the truth. Amen. God, Jesus is moved. He wept. I just needed to tell you that today. I feel like the Lord wanted you to know that. So, we teach, agree with the Bible. Agree with end results. Okay, now let's go on. Verse 36. Then the Jews said, see how he loved him? So see, they just, you know. He did love him dearly. And some of them said, could not this man have opened the eyes of the blind also have kept this man from dying? It's funny how people get all judgy. Yeah. So Jesus sympathizes, but listen, man may sympathize. It's the expression of his powerlessness. Jesus enters into the affliction of mortal man, puts himself under the burden of that more thoroughly than any man can do, and he takes it away with its cause. He removes it. Did you just get that? So you're feeling like, huh? Jesus comes in and says, let me have that. Oh, it's gone. Now, I have this peace that passes all understanding right now. Isn't that what we pray over when people have their loved one go? We say, oh, peace that passes all understanding. Be on my friend so-and-so. Why? Because Jesus. So what happened? Death met resurrection. Are y'all still here? Okay. Now, he brings in the power that's able to take it away. That's the glory of God right there. This is the glory of God. When Christ is present, if we die, we do not die for death, but for life. You're dying for life. Lazarus went ahead and died all the way for life. He that hath an ear, let him hear. Now, there's a piece of that puzzle you're going, no way, I'll get there. Death just leads to a good life. And get the underlying message here, because I'm not just talking about heaven. I'm talking about when things completely die dead. They open the door for the resurrection. The I am power which will change everything. Yes. Now, just before we cap this off, I want to show you something. You could be face to face with the I am, the resurrection himself, and still miss out on what's really going on. Martha said, if you had been here, he wouldn't have died. Jesus said, I am the resurrection right now. No matter what state he's in, Martha, I'm the resurrection. Martha said, well, I believe in the Messiah. But then Martha did something. Said, and when she had said these things, she went her way and secretly called Mary, her sister, saying, the teacher's here and he's calling for you. She called him the teacher. He was the resurrection a minute ago. He was telling her. She calls him the teacher. Now, you're going to have to put this together here. The teacher is here. I better go get Mary. Uh-huh. See, we're at ill ease, even as Christians, when we feel unable to apprehend or comprehend the meaning of God's words through him or through God's people talking to us. Martha felt like that this was Mary's part. She's kind of like going, I'm the resurrection. I'm going to go get Mary. She'll get it. I'll go get my wife. She prays. Now, I didn't mean that about you guys, but or I'll go get my husband. He understands the word better than I do. You with me? Because what happened? Well, we know the story. Martha's out there in the kitchen. Mary's down there. Uh-huh. Yeah. Okay, Jesus. Yeah. Yeah. Martha's going, psst. Mary's going. Martha walks around to the other door. Mary's going, mm-mm. This is Jesus, the word. I'm sitting under the word. Amen. Cook it yourself, sis. I'm mm-mm. Me and Jesus right here. Okay. Martha's still in her head.
Yeah.
She got to go get Mary. Because Mary's going to be able to interpret it because she's the one who was getting revelation. So that's why when they get, okay, I don't want to skip this part. I got to show you something. I'm going to jump ahead with Martha here. So Martha felt that this was Mary's part, and so she goes and calls her, and she's in her own conscience. And so we know that story. So when Mary runs out there, now Mary's out there now, and she says, Jesus could have done something. And Jesus says, where is he? Different reaction. Show me where the grave is. Different reaction. See, he had to stand out there and try to get something over to Martha. You know, that day, if she would have just thrown those beans across, rolled those beans across that table and said, Jesus, you'll have to do something with them. I'm going to sit here and listen to you. Jesus would have fed everybody. But see now, Martha was neat. Hey, don't condemn Martha. She's good. We cook. That's what we do. But we need to have each of that in us. But on that day, Mary was the one that brought the resurrection on in. Okay. That was the side issue there. I just wanted you to get. So, I will say this to help you along with a marker, okay? Martha, ever occupied with circumstances, said, Jesus, he's been in there 4 days. There could be a stench here. See, she's occupied. She's occupied with something. Do you hear me? She's occupied with something else. Well, nothing that the prophet said came to pass on January 20th. Occupied with something else. And the girl who believes and understands the resurrection has already moved him on in there. Verse 38, then Jesus again groaning in himself came to the tomb. I wonder if he groaned then like, okay. Anyway, no. It was a cave and a stone lay against it. Jesus said, take away the stone. Martha, the sister of him who was dead, said to him, Lord, by this time there's a stench, for he has been dead 4 days. Jesus said unto her, did I not say to you that if you would believe, you would see the glory of God? It's over, Lord. It's over around here. Look what's happened to our country. Then he took away the stone from the place where the dead man was lying. And Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank you that you have heard me. And I know you always hear me because of the people who are standing. Oh, Jesus, thank you, Lord. It just overwhelmed me just then. Who are standing by, I said this, that they may believe that you sent me. Now, when he had said these things, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. And when he had died, came out. Heaven just clapped right then. Thank you, Lord, for the cloud of witnesses. And he who had died came out bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was wrapped with a cloth. Jesus said to him, loose him and let him go. Lazarus had to go all the way to graveyard dead and then some. The resurrection himself shows up. There could be no doubt who did the raising. There can be no doubt who raised the country back. Can be no doubt because every avenue was graveyard dead. And when you get right up to dead, the people of God, because of our belief, this country will see resurrection. Because we're the Marys. And you need to get on a Mary side and not be going, well, it's too far gone, Lord. Now we're just going to go. No, it'll just have to be all the way down to the rapture of the church that we'll just go through hell. We're all in hell now. We're all going to be in communism now. No, we're not. No, we're not. But we did have to play through every conspiracy, every idea, get rid of every arm of the flesh, totally just dependent on Brother Trump to pull it off, or the army, or the undercover, whoever they are, and let God do it. Because if God does it, we won't get something that'll keep getting sick again. Well, yeah, but you know, darkness will always be. Hey, America has been put out more missionaries and brought light to more countries, even with people that don't believe hanging around in the country. There's light in this country. We are the light in the life of God. Well, I don't see. Yeah, it can happen. Sure can. We are right now in the middle of the greatest awakening that this world has ever seen. And don't think that that Constitution will not awaken, because it will. Everything, that Constitution came in by the I Am. And it's going to stand by the I Am. And even though it looks like darkness has taken it all the way to dead, what's after dead? Resurrection. That Constitution was written by the resurrection. He am the Word. He am those words. Oh, Jesus. When Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life, what does that mean? It means He's the source of both. He is life. He is resurrection. He can do it. He is it. It can't help but happen. And when He says those, when I am and resurrection are put together, it knocked down 600 people that tried to arrest Him. It shook the whole earth, and He came up out of the grave. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Jesus' statement that He is the resurrection and the life provides a godly perspective on several levels, church. Martha believed that the resurrection is an event. Jesus showed her that it's a person. Martha's knowledge of eternal life was an abstract idea. Jesus proved that knowledge of eternal life is a personal relationship. Martha thought victory over death was a future expectation. Jesus corrects her, showing that the victory is a present reality. After presenting himself as the resurrection and the life, Jesus asked Martha this all-important question. Do you believe this? May Martha's answer be our answer as well. I believe you are Yeshua Mashiach, the Christ, the Son of the living God, the resurrection and the life, the bread of life. Did you know that Jesus said, I am 7 times in the Bible? I am the light, I am the bread, I am, you know, all those. Did you know that when he said, I am the resurrection, it was in spot 5, grace. It was the 5th time he said it in spot 5. He is the resurrection. You're living in the resurrection. America's living in the resurrection. When the Lord, you know, draining the swamp was actually a good phrase. But it ain't Trump draining the swamp. I give all honor to President Trump. I'm not trying to, but, you know, God's used him. But it's God Almighty getting things to the end so that we have a fresh beginning. And you know good and well, there's some times that something happened to you and you went home and you were crying and you were like, well, it's all over. Remember, you something. There was something, right? Something happened to you like that. And man, God Almighty gave you a fresh start. Go over to Romans 6. I'm going to add this to it. That was my closing line, but I need to show you this because we may not need to have a big closing line. I just need to show you where to go in your studies. Romans 6. Now, okay. Go to verse 3. Know ye not that so many of you as were baptized in Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism in death. That like as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in the newness of life. For if we have planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall also live in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him. See where I'm going? That the body of sin might be destroyed, henceforth we should not serve sin. When you entered into eternity, you were crucified with Christ. Your sin is gone. When you hit death's door, resurrection's just there. The power of resurrection. And you're alive. You won't even know the difference except you'll feel better. Now listen, I want y'all to get something. For he that is dead is free from sin. You cannot offend a dead man. Can't offend a dead man. A dead man doesn't worry. He's free. Because worry is sin. Sickness and worry and sin, and it's all the same category. Fear, they're all the same. But if that old man died, that spiritual man in you is not afraid of anything. Not afraid of anything. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. So you don't have to serve worry. You don't have to serve fear. You don't have to serve doubt. You're like, well, you know, that's talking about we don't have to serve, like, you know, stealing and smoking and cussing and all. Well, church, all those things are just symptom of something deeper. Don't just ride off on all that stuff sometimes. People do stuff. There's deeper things going on here, but you're really free. And no man need to condemn you. You judge yourself. Okay, now, if we be dead with Christ, we believe we shall live, also live, knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dieth no more. Death hath no more dominion over him. For in that he died unto sin once, but in that he liveth unto God. Now I want you to get this scripture. Here's your part. Likewise reckon ye also yourself to be dead indeed to all that worry and fear and junk that makes you do all the other junk. Be dead to it. Being offended. Unforgiveness. You're dead to that. You can't hurt me. You can't do anything because that's not me anymore. I'm in the resurrection. I'm in love. We used to call this the cross life. Because sometimes you have to, when you know your soul's getting kind of, you know, and you might be worrying or doing whatever so much that you really need to just go back and reckon yourself that old man is dead. See? No, Roxanne, you're not going to be defensive. I don't have to defend myself. People are talking about you. What's new? Nothing. God's talking about me in my resurrected life. So it says here, likewise reckon also yourselves to be dead instead of sin, but alive unto God. So it says, let not sin reign in your mortal body that you should obey the lust thereof. So what's happened is when you're a dead person, you won't automatically want to fight back. You won't automatically want to defend yourself. You won't automatically say, man, I'm going to lose. Or, uh-oh, I got a bad report. I'm going to die. You won't automatically go there. You're already dead. And you're already resurrected. That old man's dead. So when you get to feeling yucky about somebody, I think Pastor insulted me. Can't insult the dead man. I just used me because I didn't want to point out any of you. No, I'm kidding. For sin shall not have dominion over you. For you are not under the law. You're under grace. And it goes on to say, so if you're under grace, can we sin anyway? And he says, God forbid. That's not what he's trying to say. He's trying to say, don't yield your servants or yourself to stuff that's going to harm you. So that reckoning yourself dead is a good thing. So we'll just go ahead and reckon death all the way to the end of all this junk in America. I reckon COVID dead. Yes. And resurrection virus spread throughout the earth. Yes. Holy leaven. Yes. Because that's exactly what's happening in America today. That's exactly what this awakening is. It's the leaven of the glory of God. That pandemic was the dark counterfeit of the glory of God in this earth, and it's spreading in this earth now. So catch it without a mask.
That's so good.
Yield yourself to that.